Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let's start with a word of praise. Prayer real quick here. I almost said praise. We already did that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for bringing together this congregation. I just pray, Lord, as we are considering you and thinking about you as our Lord of life, as the giver of perfect gifts, that you would help us to... I pray that your word would speak to us today. I ask that you would give each and every one of us your wisdom. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would give us wisdom to understand your word, to understand you better. We praise you, Lord. We lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's open up to James chapter 1. If you're not there already, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This passage challenges us to look at God in a very, very different way than the world looks at God. If you listen to a lot of debate between Christians and atheists, I love listening to debates, the long form ones worth hours and hours and hours, and you should be falling asleep, but I like them. I like them a lot. And what one thing that you're going to hear over and over and over again is a criticism of God, essentially, not just of Christianity, but of God, is what about evil? Look at all this evil that God is letting run rampant through the world. The accusation that's leveled against God over and over and over again is, you are the one who is responsible for this. You are the one who gives us these things. But what does this passage say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When I was younger, I know my mother would tell me oftentimes is, don't say always, because you're bound to be wrong at some point. Okay, don't say always. Don't make too many definitive statements, which I would do all the time as a kid, constantly. Man, you're always so mean to me, you know. But this passage is making an always statement. God, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. It is also making a definitive statement about you and me that flies in the face of what the world says about you and me, about people, about what our purpose is. That we should be, actually really two statements here. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So God brought us forth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we're going to talk a little bit more later about what that means to be the first fruits of God's creatures. The world wants to say that you and I were just meat. We're just like any other animal out there. Our lives aren't any different. But the reality is, what God's word tells us is, first and foremost, in our last passage, actually, really, last week, we were challenged to consider the fact that God is never, ever, ever the source of our temptation, right? He does not tempt us with evil. He doesn't do evil. And now we're being challenged to look at God and say, not only that, but everything that's good in this world comes from God. That is a radically different way of looking at the world. I mean, I know, when it comes to the evil that we see in the world, when it comes to death and pain and suffering and all these things, our instinct is always to blame somebody else. I mean, you can see that. If you look at when there's troubles in a city, the people complain. Oh, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this. When the reality is, of what the Bible tells us, is that you and I, if we want to know where the source of the problem, the source of evil in the world, we have to look in the mirror. Because that it's not coming from God. Just this temptation to do evil does not come from God. The only thing that comes from God is good gifts, perfect gifts. So the first three points that are really, really clear. Point number one is that every good thing comes from God. Every good thing. Second is that God is constant. His nature does not change. There is no variation or shadow due to change in the Father of Lights. And the Father of Lights, just to clarify, that is a name for God. It's a name used in the Old Testament and later on. It's a very Old Testament name for God in a lot of ways. The way the people viewed the world, God is the one who set above even the stars, even the lights above us. He is the God that's over all these things. You know, many people around the world would worship the sun and worship the stars, but God, he set over the stars. So that's a very, very Old Testament name. And we know that James grew up and he had a good understanding of the Old Testament. And so this is a reference to that. Third, God has made us. There is a purpose for our lives. We are meant to be the cream of the crop of all of creation. The literal cream of the crop of all of creation. Yeah, it does not make you feel good about yourself. You didn't know that you were meant to be the cream of the crop of all of God's creatures. That's a good thing to hear. I know we talk about some sad things sometimes, but it's good to hear that God actually made us to be something really, really special. And so let's dig into this right now. I know this is a very broad subject. I mean, we're saying every good gift comes from God. And so we could take the next several weeks and start looking at every good thing in the world and how it comes from God. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to the Genesis account and start out by looking at the good gifts that God gave Adam and Eve. And we're going to see as we go through God's word how those gifts have been extended to us from the beginning of time all the way down to today. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Let's get into the good gifts of God, the perfect gifts, I should say, of God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So our perfect Lord of Lights, the creator of the universe, he made you and me in his image from the beginning. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, jumping ahead a little bit to chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever man called every living creature, that was its name. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So from the beginning of time, the very, very first things that God, the first perfect gifts that God gives us, let's talk about that for a second. He gives us good work. So Adam and Eve were given stewardship of the plants and animals in the Garden of Eden. They were given the charge of taking care of this beautiful, perfect garden that God had created for them, naming the animals. Secondly, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. He gave Adam the gift of family, or you could say more broadly, community. Right? That's one of the first things that God gave people, is community, family with each other. Third, God gave us a real chance to have a relationship with Him. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They knew Him. He was not distant. He was not some far-off person that they had read about and seen or maybe had experienced some things, but only from afar. They had a real relationship with God. And then four, God gave them eternal life. He gave them eternal life, eternal perfect life on this earth from the beginning. Now those are just four gifts. But those four gifts are significant for every single human being that has ever lived. And that was right from the beginning. Right in the beginning of creation. Now, I'll finish reading this here real quick. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her out to the man. I'll go a little further. The man said, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we can see that God really, from the beginning of time, He does give us good gifts from the very, very beginning. So Adam and Eve, they had this perfect garden to tend. They had good work to do. They had food to eat. They had purpose and meaning in their lives. They had a beautiful family. They had community with each other. They had a relationship with God. They had eternal life. But what it says in James 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So this verse is saying that not only does God give every good and perfect gift, but that God is consistent. Throughout all these thousands of years, God is consistent, and he does not change. So let's take a minute here. Let's look at some of the gifts that God gave to Israel. If you guys would go with me to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out for the Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. We know that after this, God would give Israel His law. He would give them the Ten Commandments. He would give them the law in its entirety. The people of Israel were slaves in a foreign land. They had nothing that they could claim was really their own. But God wanted to use them for a really special purpose. He wanted to give good gifts to them, not because they were perfect people, not because of how wonderfully they were going to receive these gifts. We know that Israel would fail over and over and over and over again. But because God made a promise to their forefather, Abraham, that from him he would make a mighty nation. And that mighty nation would bless the entire world. That was a promise that God made to one man. Surely God could forget about one promise made to one person living in the middle of nowhere. But that's not God's nature. That's not who he is. He is constant. He does not change. He keeps his promises and he gives good gifts. You can look at the gifts that God would give Israel and they line right up with what we see in the Genesis account. He gives them the wonderful, wonderful work to do. God uses Israel to show his power and his glory here on this earth. And if you catch what their job description, their official job title, they are meant to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, I wish that Israel had, I wish that they had accepted those gifts and that there hadn't been a need for, they hadn't turned their back on God. Could you imagine that? Going to a nation of priests where everything in an entire country is dedicated to doing nothing but bringing glory to God. Because that's the work that God gave them. They were meant to be a priestly nation. God gave them community. Israel was meant to be united in its worship of God in every area of life. The law gave them clear instructions on how to bring glory to God in every single area of life, from family to community, as in you're the people around you, even how their nation was supposed to operate. God gave them a clear sense of identity and a common cause and law for them to follow. Israel had direct contact with God, first through the prophets and the tabernacle, and then later on through the temple. God gave them a direct connection to him. When he needed to speak to his people, it was no mystery. He would show himself. He would reveal himself through the prophets, through the tabernacle, through the temple system. And lastly, he gave them the way for them to have eternal life through the sacrifice system. He gave them a way to atone for their sins to be washed away and be righteous in his eyes. God's gifts are good, right? I mean, you can see that. Even to Israel, even to the stubborn people who I relate to very much, because I am also stubborn and make lots of mistakes, God continually gives good gifts. He is continually concerned with and interested in redeeming people all throughout history, whether it's Adam and Eve at the beginning, whether it's Israel, or whether it's us. So the other thing it says here in verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So believe it or not, there is a plan behind this big, big messed up world that we live in. That's what this is saying. There is God. There was intention behind God making you and me and people from the beginning of time to now. God has a plan and a purpose that has not wavered. Nothing has surprised him. There's nothing that's come out of left field for God, because he knew how things would play out. And this passage says that we are supposed to be the first fruits of creation, you and I. So the word of truth, the word that's being used there is logos. So if you spend any time doing word studies in the Greek, in the biblical Greek in the New Testament, logos is a word used to describe Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. The word. Jesus is described as being the word. The word was there in the beginning. The word was with God, and the word was God. So of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. There is real power in that statement. That we should be a kind of aparche of his creatures, aparche. Now, first fruits, it does literally refer to the cream of the crop. It does mean like the best part of a crop that you're bringing in. But also, another way it can be interpreted or another meaning is a person's superior excellence to others of the same class. So an excellence that stands out among your peers. That's what a parke means. So human beings are meant to be the standouts, the cream of the crop, of all of God's creatures here on this earth. Now, part of God creating us, one of the gifts that God gave us, is free will. He gave us the ability to choose whether to follow him or whether to go our own way, to make our own choices. And of course, we did choose to sin. The first people choose to sin, and we choose to sin. And so we are a fallen creation. That's true. But because God is consistent, because God does not change, his desire is for you and me to have these same gifts that he's been giving from the very beginning of time until now. So can we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16? Let's look at what it says here. What God's desire is for you and me as members of the church, of the body of Christ. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't that seem like a familiar statement as we're thinking about this? And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who has descended, or who descended, is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we are fallen people, that's true. You and I are fallen, we do sin. But God has enacted the greatest restoration project in the history of the world. God, through Jesus Christ, is restoring you and me into the first fruits of creation. That's what he's doing. That was his intention from the beginning, that you and I would be made in his image, and that we would be the first fruits of his creation. We would be like him. Not him, but like him. And that's what Jesus is accomplishing on the cross. That's what God is accomplishing through the church. You notice that the church itself, the body of Christ, has a huge hand in this. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So God does have a plan for you and I. He does care. Oh, and here's the definitions for those words if you didn't get that, but he does care about you and I, and he does have good gifts for you and I as well. See, through Jesus Christ, you and I are now a part of the greatest work ever. We are part of the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded us. And Jesus promises that he'll be with us always to the end of the age. So we have a good work to do too. Even though we're not part of Israel, as far as I know, I don't think anyone here is an Israelite. We're not part of the family of Israel, even though we've been grafted in. We have family and community. We are one body under Christ. That is such a powerful part of this passage in Ephesians, that there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You and I have been united through Jesus Christ into a community that is meant to build each other up. We are a body that's meant to help each other grow into the image, into the maturity of Jesus Christ, day by day. We have a unique relationship with God. You and I have access to God. We have God's own Holy Spirit living in us. If we believed in Jesus, His Holy Spirit is living in us, and we have the ability to go before the throne room of God and pray and talk to Him. And what a privilege that is. We can't forget that that is a unique privilege in this stage of the world, that it used to be everyone would have to go to the temple in Israel. They'd have to have an intermediary. They'd have to have somebody who would go through step after step after step of preparation to go before the throne room of God and talk to God. But you and I have the ability to pray and know God in a really, really special way. That's a cool thing. And of course, most importantly, just as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So we have the opportunity of eternal life if we believe in Jesus. Are not the gifts of God good? Aren't these good gifts? And can you see how God has been giving these gifts, offering these gifts to people all throughout history? From the beginning of time until now, God always gives perfect gifts. So let's read this chapter again, these verses again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. The word for perfect in this chapter is teleos. Probably pronouncing that wrong. Or teleos or teleos. And it means brought to its end, finished, or wanting for nothing. God's gifts are wanting for nothing. They are perfect, they are complete, they are finished. From the time of Adam and Eve until now, God's gifts have always been perfect, they have always been good, and God has always extended these things to us in one shape or one form or another. God is consistent, His nature does not change. And so we can know that every good thing really is from God. He gives us good work. He gives us family and community. He gives us the chance to have a direct relationship with Him. We can know that God's nature does not change from the Garden of Eden to the country of Israel to the church today. His nature is the same. And lastly, we can know that we are the first fruits of His creation. While we were fallen before we believed in Christ, and we are fallen, by Jesus Christ's blood, we are being restored into the image of God that He intended us to be. Through His work and through His church that He established on this earth, we are maturing day by day into the image of Christ. So someday we get to finally be with Him and we get to celebrate and enjoy even more. I mean, these aren't the only gifts that God gives us. He's given us so many things. Like I said, it'd be weeks and weeks if we wanted to talk about every good thing that God has ever given us. But these are just some of the ones that you can see all throughout creation. So let's take some time now. Let's pray. And I'd encourage you to thank God for the good things that He's given you in your life. I encourage you to think about this week. Think about the things that perhaps and I know I do this. I tend to ask God why when something bad happens and forget to thank Him when He does something good for me. So I would encourage you this week to think about what are the good things that God is doing in your life right now, big or small, and thank Him for that. And hopefully that That image, the image that comes to your mind when you think of God is He is the Father of lights, the giver of perfect gifts. I hope that's an encouragement as you go throughout your week. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us just perfect gifts over and over and over again for your patience and your mercy. Even when we reject you, Lord, you are so steadfast and faithful. God, thank you for the gift that is this work you've given us of serving you, of following you, of carrying our own cross and suffering for your name's sake. Thank you for this community of believers, this family, this body of Christ that you've created. Thank you so much, Lord, so much, that we can talk to you, that we can know you in a deep, meaningful way that was just reserved for a few in the past. And most importantly, Lord, thank you for making a way for us to have eternal life with you. God, we don't deserve these gifts, but you are so good. We praise you. We lift your name on high. May you be glorified this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And thank you, everybody. Thank you.